We're going to look at engage today. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to answer. If you come to a church, let's say you are visiting a church, what are some things, and I don't want answers, think about it. What are some things that you would look for? Well, probably one, which should be right up there, is the Bible being preached? Second thing that you may look for is maybe the worship. Do they sing, "A mighty fortress is our God"? That's my kind of worship. Or do they sing, do they do all this? They do these praise songs, these drummers going nuts, cymbals. Is that worship? I would maintain no, it is not. That has absolutely nothing to do with worship. The type of music that's being played, whether it's hymns, whether it's people flooded at the altar, that has nothing to do with worship. I love this psalm because it gets us back to the real heart of worship. Remember, worship is something other than exterior. It is something other than external. It happens in the heart. And this psalm really takes us to the heart of worship. And by the way, I like this, actually. But that doesn't mean that these people are all worshiping. Because worship is individualized. It happens in the heart. It happens to us individually. So as we go through this, let's look, first of all, that we come into his presence. By the way, that's what you've done this morning. I know you got up this morning, you drove here, you came in. This is God's building, but ultimately worship in essence at its very heart is really engaging God. It is coming into his presence. Let's look at Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise. I would even maintain that you can make a joyful noise and not worship. This is a really good picture. Whether these people actually mean this in their hearts, you can do this outwardly. Joyful noise, if somebody is happy and they are praising God, no doubt that's going to show. I have nothing against that. But there are people who can actually fake the worship. You can actually fake it. You can dance all around and jump up and down and clap and shout and be far from God. The Israelites, my goodness, look at the Israelites. They would do all that stuff and they were far from God. I think worship here, when we make a joyful noise, certainly it comes from the heart. And I like this picture so much because if these people are truly worshiping, look at this picture. It's a wonderful picture of how worship happens. But when you come into his presence, when you talk about externals, yes, it's not about that, but in a way it is about that because of what's happening in the heart. I know some Baptist churches where people sit like this the whole time. No emotion. I love you, Lord. Lift my voice. Praise my hand. And you kind of wonder, have you people come into contact with God? Are you in his presence? Because actually, that's what worship is. It is coming into his presence. And notice what the psalmist says here in Psalm 100. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, all the earth. But this idea is secondly connected to service. Did you know worship is not just limited to singing praise songs or listening to a sermon? Actually, notice what he says in verse 2 of Psalm 100. Notice, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Obviously, this is a reference to the temple where the people would come in to worship God and they would serve him not only with their hearts, but they would serve him. This is something else about connecting. Part of worship and praise of God is serving him. So we have engage, connect, and what's the third pillar? Serve. Engage, connect, serve. Listen, worship, I think, if you have truly come into his presence, if you have truly, you are here on Sunday morning, you are attuned to the things of God, you are praising him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and you are loving him, it naturally, quite naturally, would outflow into wanting to serve him, which is also connected to worship. So there's two aspects to worship here of coming into his presence. One of them is joy. My goodness, can you think about what you're going to do when you see Jesus Christ face to face? There was a song, I don't know whether I'm going to dance, shout, sit. Don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something because I'm going to be in his presence. But that naturally leads to service. And so the question is, if you come here on Sunday morning but you don't serve God the rest of the week, is that fully worship? I don't know, because they show it right here very clearly. This is a reference to the temple. And when these people would come in, they would worship him with their hearts, but also they would worship him with their hands and their feet. I want to encourage you that if you don't have a place to serve, Megan's the only one on the adult ministry team. Please join it. And if you're already on three committees, don't join it. I'm not trying to keep you busy, but I'm trying to get everybody employed. A lot of you have gifts, and you can actually use those for service. That is service, by the way. Service is worship. Worship is service. So when you are worshiping God with your hearts, and it should be not just on Sunday mornings, by the way, tomorrow morning when your feet hit the floor, you have an opportunity to worship him and serve him. It's a choice you make. I just think that when we come into the presence of God, something radically happens. This goes back to my understanding of salvation. If you have come into his presence, you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you have been saved, all of your sins have been forgiven, and then you sit and do nothing, I question. I question whether you have actually come into his presence. Because, let me just put it this way. I don't serve God out of fear, I serve God out of love. There's a huge paradigm shift there. People I know serve God because they're afraid if they don't, God's going to zap them. I serve God out of love because I know what he's done for me, and that's how I serve him. So part of this engaging is the church, us. And do you remember the three little subpoints under serve? Serve the church, serve the community, serve the world. This is where our church needs to be. It needs to be ministering within, obviously, each other, but we need to be out there serving the community. That's going to change. We're going to get outdoors. I know a lot of you love outdoors. We're going to start doing ministries within this community. We have to reach them. I'm going to tell you this. The people are not going to come through these doors, folks. Very rarely will you find a lost person. I think I'm going to go to church today. The church has to be visible. We have to be out there. We can't be in here. Oh, look at our little group. We got all of our little people together, and we're just huddled up here together. Well, part of worship says get out. Part of worship says serve him. Look at what God's done. Praise him, obviously, and then get out there and serve him. That's what needs to happen. Please get motivated. If you just come and sit every Sunday and not get involved, you're missing half the worship. Do you know what a joy it is to see a life changed? Wow. Now notice what the psalmist says, and you do this with gladness. That means that you serve, but you serve willingly. I don't want anybody in this church serving that doesn't serve joyfully. Now please don't quit. But I'm going to tell you, this psalm has awakened my heart to something here. That when you're in his presence, you will serve him, and you will serve him with joy and with gladness. And let me say this. If you're having a problem with serving him today, you need to be up here at the altar this morning, and you need to be saying, God, let me see your presence again so I can get motivated and be joyful about serving. Christ served everybody in this church. He went to the cross, and he didn't have to. He paid for our sins. If that has to be your motivating factor, then do it. I would say whatever it is, do it. But not only is it coming into his presence, but it's also acknowledging his lordship. And notice the psalmist hits the creation, God as creator. Know the Lord, he is God. The psalmist here is making a confessional about God. Know, actually the Hebrew word there means that the believers have a personal understanding of God. The day that you came to Jesus Christ by faith, you knew God personally. You may not have known everything about God at that time, but you knew God. And by the way, I'm crazy enough to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that it was good. God's Spirit hovered above the waters. And he called this world into existence out of nothingness. Ex nihilo. By the way, notice the psalmist doesn't just say that he created. It is he who made us. Genesis 1:27. God created us. Within every individual, I don't care whether they say it or they don't say it. Within every individual, there is an innate desire to worship God. It may be misplaced in unbelievers. They may worship the bottle. They may worship baseball teams. They may worship football teams. They may worship stars in Hollywood. But there is an innate desire to worship. Where does that come from? Because God's blueprint, God's thumbprint is on our lives. We are created in his image. The psalmist says, you cannot get beyond worship. You cannot go forward in worship until you acknowledge that God is the Lord and sovereign over all creation. That's what leads everybody to praise him. So when we come into his presence, part of this has to be acknowledging the greatness and glory of God. And also, if God created, I know I just sounded like Charles Stanley there, God, but part of this has to be that we know our place in relation to him. That's what keeps us humble. The psalmist says, yes, we're serving you, we're praising you, but by the way, Lord, let me never forget that you are bigger than me. How many of you have forgotten that you're not bigger than God? God is bigger than all of us. And by the way, every person that was born in this world from when it began is in need of a Savior. Why? Because God doesn't make junk. Satan takes what God has created and turns it into junk. What do I mean by junk? I mean the person that's strung out on drugs. The person that does all kinds of vile things. That's what Satan wants. He wants to thwart God's plan. Our job as a church is to change that through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's to make a difference in the lives of people. Notice that he says that he made us. But not only that, the psalmist goes one step further. He identifies God as the Savior. Not only coming into his presence and acknowledging his lordship as creator, but also as Savior. Notice what he says. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Love this verse. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Catch that. The only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. How does he manifest this? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Do you know if God did not have a plan from eternity past, we were in serious trouble? Did you know that? If God did not send Jesus Christ to the cross, we got a problem. Why is it when we come to worship, sometimes, not all the time, and if I offend you and it's true of you, good. If I offend you and it's not true of you, I apologize. So in other words, if this fits, let God change it. How is it that we can come to worship? And we can sit. You know, I don't like that song. Did you see, did you hear what Pastor said today? Wasn't that garbage? I didn't really like the atmosphere today. I didn't like that hymn. We've never sang that hymn here. We've never done that way. By the way, that's the last seven words of the church. No, see, brothers and sisters, if you come to worship like that, you're not worshiping. You're complaining. Worship, when you come through that door as a redeemed people of God, means that you come through those doors, your heart should already be pumped. When you come in here, it should explode. And then when you leave, you should leave to go out those doors to serve. I love one church. After acknowledging him as Savior, you would go out the church door, and it said on the back of the church door as you exited, you are now entering your mission field. That's a good reminder. We serve, we acknowledge him, we worship him, and we are his people. You know, how should this affect us? Knowing that God created us, he didn't have to, but he did. Knowing that he saved us, he didn't have to, but he did. How should that affect us? Well, as you're out there and you're getting ready to come in, look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. He says to come in and praise God, not criticize. I think our praise team, you guys know this. Maybe you don't. Maybe I just change that a little bit. Our praise team's practices every Thursday night. They read scripture before and they pray. That was at my request. But they've kept that and they keep doing that. And they pick songs for Sunday morning. And the songs that they pick, I believe they have sought and they have seeked God. Sought God, not seeked. My professor. So when they come out here on Sunday morning, if your heart's right with God, you're just going to go with the flow. Now, if they start doing stuff up here that's not biblical, I'll be the first to stick up for it and say, whoa, I stand up and say, no, we're not doing that. Because that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, God, or the Holy Spirit. But until then, you know what that is? It's really just a personal preference. I love hymns. Oh, man, I love them. But I also like praise mixed in there, too. But ultimately, you could throw it all out and be like the Church of Christ and never do any musical instruments, and you can still praise God. It's all about the heart. It's about coming into his presence and then acknowledging him while you're in the, and the psalm is saying coming in here, which means they've already been in and they've already experienced God during the week. They're coming back in. By the way, if you want to get technical, church is pretty much every day. There wasn't any of this lax period like we do. See you next Sunday. Have a good week. You're supposed to be worshiping God every day. Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, praising him all day long. Matter of fact, we sing that song, don't we? Something like that. He is our Savior, and it should explode out of us. The fact that Jesus Christ redeemed all of us, it should explode out of us. If it doesn't explode and it's not even a spurt, you need to go back to the cross. Because I don't think you really understood what it meant to be redeemed. Does it mean I believe you lose your salvation? Absolutely not. You got to have it before it's yours that God has given to you. You got to own it. Wow. Lastly, we engage God, the heart of worship, not only by acknowledging that he is our sovereign Lord and coming into his presence, but we also acknowledge his goodness. And by the way, God is good. Ron, thank you. God is good. Okay. Wow. Everybody up here this morning. For the Lord is good, verse 5, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I love these little hearts. If you were to think about this, yours forever. I can't see what the other one's because it's kind of fuzzy. But knew you, is that right? What does that say? Need you, okay. What's that one? I want you to pretend like this is your life. The goal is to have God's love filled up in your heart. I want you to understand something this morning. No matter where you are in life today, no matter how far you are from God, no matter what condition you are facing, I want to tell you something this morning. And no, this isn't a feel-good sermon, but I want to tell you this one thing. God loves you. As a child of God, you never have to think that God's some guy up there just waiting for you to mess up so he can smack. Look, none of us do this thing right called the Christian life. I bet you'll make 14 mistakes this week. I don't know, I just threw the number out. You might make more than that. I'm in this fantasy baseball league. And I tell you what, where's my Cubs fans? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys need to say a prayer. You guys need to say a prayer for Soriano because he's not hitting for me at all. I'm about ready to throw him on the bench and maybe even under the bus. He's got to start hitting. That's a sad state of affairs when I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to the Cubs game and when Soriano comes up, please get a hit. Do something. I'm not even sure why I did that. It's just kind of a sermon pause. Just throw it out. Some of you get that glaze. So I got to bring you back a little bit. Yeah. I want you to understand how much God loves you. You realize he has a heart for you? You know, husbands and wives, they go through life. Start out here also in love with all their chemicals going on. They get down the road and hardly even acknowledge them. Sorry when I forget that. I forget to do that. Sometimes I take her for granted. And I think a lot of times in our lives, don't we take God's love for granted? He loves us. You say, I want a demonstration of that. You're here. I want another demonstration of it. Look behind me. God's love was demonstrated when he put Christ on the cross. Do you know he loves you? There should never be a point you'll get discouraged and you get down. But there's one thing you should never question, and that's God's unfailing love for you. No matter where you are in life. But not only his love, but his faithfulness. I wanted to get this song by Shannon Wexelberg. Have you ever, guys ever heard of her? Show of hands. Oh, man. If I know the last name's weird, Wexelberg, but I tell you what, she has a song, God is Faithful. I tried for 3 hours Friday and Saturday to get a download of that video for us. And I was just going to play it up here. Couldn't do it because it was kind of, I told Evan I didn't have the right pixels. She was on Day of Discovery. What a voice. What a message in that voice for us. God is faithful. If you get a chance, Google it when you get home. Shannon Wexelberg. I think that's right. Is it? Okay. Shannon Wexelberg. It's excellent, excellent song. So we have to go something else, and I wanted to show you this. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews 6:19. This is God's faithfulness. Now, Hebrews is right after Philemon. Anybody know how many chapters long Philemon is? One. I'm trying to fool you guys. Can't put one past you. Hebrews 6:19. But I'm going to start in verse 13, and we'll kind of build to it. Now, this is speaking about God's faithfulness, and this goes all the way back to Abraham. For when God made a promise to Abraham, you guys remember that, right? That's way back in Genesis. Since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For the people swear by something greater than themselves, and in their disputes and oaths in the final is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, which is impossible for God to lie, which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Listen to this. We have this sure. You listen to that? We have this sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as the forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I think it was, and I'm going to double check this. I didn't write it in my notes because I just think sometimes I can pull it from my head, but Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, I want you to leave here and go. And by the way, when you leave and go, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be abundantly blessed. From that moment, and even before that moment, I would maintain, but from that moment on, God kept that promise. Do you know who the multiple blessings are that God was talking about? You're sitting right here today. God has been faithful to each of us. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Israel all the way through with the remnant. He was faithful when Christ came. He was faithful to redeem us. God's faithful. And guess what? The word faithfulness there means trustworthy. You can trust God. You can't trust your wife. You can't trust your husband 100%. You can't trust your children. You can't trust your friends. You can't trust your neighbors. You can't trust your employer. You can't trust your employees. But I can tell you one person you can trust 100% of the time, and that's God. Part of worship, I think the heart of worship means coming into his presence, acknowledging the greatness of God and the goodness of God. I don't think that you can have worship unless those three are met. I really don't. I believe this. And I sent this to Newt Larson, Pastor Larson, my friend. He said, what a great psalm. He said, I love your title, Heart of Worship, because he said, that's it. When you melt it down, it's not about the music. It's not about the lights. It's not about all that stuff. What it really is about is encountering God personally and letting him transform your heart and life. That's what it is. Let me ask you a question. When you came here today, did you come to come into his presence? Did you come joyfully this morning? Did you come with a heart that was bent to him? Did you come with the expectation that God was going to do something? See, part of worship means that you realize that God is who he says he is and that he will do something. I have to do that every Sunday morning. Because, see, Satan likes to play a game with me when I'm up here. Almost every pastor I've talked to said, yeah, they experienced the same thing. What Satan wants me to do is get discouraged and stand up here alongside and say, they're not listening to you. They're not catching a word you're saying. Look at Larry over there asleep. You got to have some expectations of God. And I can tell you this, honestly, when you come into his presence and you've seen his face in your heart, not physically, spiritually, you have seen his face in your heart, you're changed. You cannot leave the same way that you came in. When you go out there, you're still worshiping. This is a daily thing. Take time tomorrow morning when you get up. Come into his presence. Maybe take a few minutes just to read this psalm again. And say, Father, help me acknowledge you today. Let me serve you today. Let me worship you today. No matter what happens in my life, I will praise you. Because ultimately, I know that you are sovereign, you are Lord, and it will work out for my good eventually.